A recent Dater High School graduate attends a check-in with immigration officials only to be detained. A father of young children gets arrested outside a Kroger store in East Price Hill. You're listening to Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. I'm Lucy May. These local ICE arrests have prompted protests and raised questions about the rights of immigrants. Joining me now to talk about those arrests and the legal implications are immigration attorney Nazlee Mamudova, whose firm is called Nazlee Mamudova Law, Ignite Peace Program Director Samantha Searles, and local school social worker Sarah Madrigal. Thank you all for being here today.
Our pleasure.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Samantha, walk us through what happened with Emerson Kalindris, this 19-year-old who just graduated from Dater High School.
A couple of weeks ago, we received a call from some school staff that one of their students had been detained by ICE, and they were completely at a loss at what to do. And they knew that my organization, Ignite Peace, has been responding to immigration issues for decades and looked to us for some advice on what they could do to share Emerson's story. So we called the media, we organized some press events and some rallies to raise awareness of the fact that this innocent kid who just graduated high school was detained by ICE. Unfortunately, he has since been deported, and his mother and sister are actually en route to Honduras as we speak to join him.
Oh. Nazlee, as I understand it, he and his family had applied for asylum. I understand they received a final removal order in 2023. I know you're not an attorney on this case, but can you talk with us in general terms about what that means legally when someone gets that final removal order?
Absolutely. Once a person gets a final removal order, that means that they are removable from the United States. However, it is up to the immigration officials, ICE in this case, to decide whether this person warrants the removal from the country or not. And in the past, we have had a certain categories of people who were more priority for removal, where Kalindris would have never been there. However, there was another application that was pending for the family, and unfortunately that didn't play out because the current administration has deemed some of the applications where people can receive the relief even from removal order as a collateral, and they do not consider them to be a relief.
I want to mention we did reach out to ICE for an interview, but we have not received a response. Nazlee, what due process was Emerson Kalindris entitled to when ICE arrested and detained him?
Generally, there is an notification of the person that they will be detained, and sometimes ICE would give you a notice of telling you that, you know, on a certain date, please come with your belongings, with your passport, and you will be removed to your home country or a third country, depending on the situation. But this does not always happen.
Yeah, and Samantha, that it sounds like that didn't happen with Emerson.
It didn't. Under the Biden administration, the Kalindris family was allowed to stay under an intense supervisory program where his mother, Ada, was wearing an ankle monitor. And they told Emerson to come to that office to get his own ankle monitor now that he's 19 and finished high school. But instead of getting an ankle monitor, he was detained in that moment and did not have any belongings with him and did not expect to be detained in that moment.
Nazlee, was he entitled to any kind of due process at that point, or was he not because of this final removal order that had already been issued?
Unless the attorneys on his case filed for the stay of removal and brought up this collateral relief that his family might have been eligible for, no, there's no really a due process that exists at that stage.
Samantha, the Trump administration makes the case that anybody in the country illegally is at risk of deportation. But did Emerson have any other kind of criminal record or?
No, Emerson was a good kid. He was a soccer star. Everyone loved him. And you can see that by the support that the community has poured out for him. And that just goes to show the change in administration and priorities, whereas the Biden administration would look for specific people who were undocumented and leave everyone else who had never committed a crime, who were important to their community, who were key caretakers of their family. He left them alone. And now everyone is a priority. Even though the narrative has been that the Trump administration has been looking for quote-unquote criminals, they're actually finding easy targets like Emerson to be detained.
Sarah, tell us more about Emerson as a student, as a high school student, as a person.
Emerson, he's a great kid. And I think so much about, I serve many, many students who arrived in a similar manner to Emerson. And he was one who, with many, many barriers in front of him, adapted and then excelled in the Cincinnati environment. He was a part of our club soccer team, as you've seen in the rallies and in the news, very, very integral to that. And then in school, every teacher I spoke to, right, I don't, as a social worker, I'm not with him in the classroom every day, but I have many friends throughout the schools that he attended, and every single Wednesday the same. He was curious, inquisitive, motivated to learn. He was, by every measure, the ideal student.
We're talking about some recent ICE arrests in Greater Cincinnati. Do you have questions or comments? Give us a call at 513-419-7100, or you can email talk@wvxu.org. Sarah, have you spoken with his mother or sister? Samantha just mentioned that I guess they're on their way to meet up with him in Honduras.
Yeah, we were texting this morning. They had arrived on a layover in Houston, and they were waiting to board their final flight. I think just a lot of sort of a bittersweet, right? Going home in that in and of itself is not always a sad thing, but in the way that they were asked to leave, sort of packing up their dreams and boxes and headed back, I think is something that they didn't really expect. We had spoken of the house that she had sent money to build when they first arrived because things felt less certain. And then she's like, but then I kind of stopped adding to it. I didn't finish the water or the electric because I didn't actually think that I was going to have to go back. It was my plan C safety plan because I started to think that this could be my home. Mm-hmm. And so I think a lot of that is seeing family that she hasn't seen in years, returning to a country that she does deeply love, but doing so in a way that I think makes her feel like all maybe her sacrifice is here. I think she's unsure of what she's going to face and what she gave up to be here and what that looks like moving forward.
Well, and am I remembering correctly that she came to this country with her children because she felt unsafe? Is that right?
Correct.
Does she still have those concerns?
I think in general, yes. I think that there is still a lot of political unrest, a lot of poverty, a lot of motivating factors that influence violence in communities. And I think that those remain part of the things they think about as they return to their home country. So I think those are still concerns. It's not changed for them. I think they're just looking to see what they can do to build a new life and move themselves forward.
We do have a caller on the line. Hi, thank you so much for calling. What is your question or comment?
Hi, I just had a quick comment. You know, you see these stories that are occurring locally and nationwide, and then you see some of these, just the vitriol and the hatred people express towards these people, saying, send them all back. These people are our neighbors. They're good folks. They're living in our communities and contributing, and I just wish people would be nicer about it, you know?
Well, thank you. Thank you for that call. Samantha, do you want to respond to that?
I think a lot of people feel that this is a border issue, and a lot of people only hear the stories that are on the news, which is why it was so important for us to spread Emerson's story far and wide. Because once you know someone, you recognize them as part of your community, whether they're a teacher, whether they work at the grocery store or clean your house, then that humanizes them and people start to build empathy. And I think Emerson's case was a good door for a lot of people to walk through because now they felt like they knew him. We did a really good job of showing who he was as a person. And so I hope that as we continue to share stories, that people open their hearts and see how these policies are affecting innocent folks.
Cray, thank you for that call and thank you for that comment. Sarah, did you want to say something?
I do. I think it's also really important to recognize the same people responding with that vitriol. Look at U.S.-born American citizens who have names that sound like maybe they were not originally from here and say the same thing to them. I don't think it's necessarily always an immigrant issue as much as an othering issue, because we see in the news all the time people calling for the deportation of U.S. senators or other people who quite clearly are very legal, have done things the right way, or quite possibly born in this country. So I think sometimes it's important to recognize that what feels like an issue regarding deportation and doing things the right way is also very deeply seated othering of people who they don't think look enough like them to be American.
Well, we're going to continue our conversation after a short break. This is Cincinnati Edition. You're tuned to Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. I'm Lucy May. We're continuing our conversation about recent ICE arrests in Greater Cincinnati. My guests are immigration attorney Nazli Mamyadova, whose firm is called Nazli Mamyadova Law, Ignite Peace Program Director Samantha Searles, and a local school social worker, Sarah Madrigal. You can join the conversation by calling 513-419-7100, or you can email talk@wvxu.org. We do have another caller on the line. Hey, Thomas, thanks for calling. What's your question or comment?
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I just want to give what might be a different perspective here and just give two quick points. The first one is that there's a lot of discussion that I think it's obfuscated, that this is really a cut and dry black and white issue, which is either immigration is illegal or it isn't. We are a nation of laws. If people do not like this immigration process as it stands, the route to do that is to change it to the national legislature. Is that ever going to happen? Maybe not, but that does not mean that someone has a right to violate a law. They don't need to violate another law to be here, to be deported for being here illegally. Secondly, just to be clear, because I think there's also some confusion about like opinions people have about.
I'm sorry. I think we might have lost Thomas somehow. Thomas, I apologize. I don't know how that happened. We have a new phone system. I'm hoping we can get you back. Nazli, would you like to address Thomas's point about being a nation of laws and people who do enter this country without proper authorization?
Absolutely. And I want to remind to everyone that being able to seek asylum at the border is a completely legal process, and people do have a right to that. So a lot of times people think if someone crossed the border and came into United States and is placed in removal proceedings, that they are, quote unquote, illegal here. The term we don't like to use, we like to use undocumented. However, a lot of them are unaware that, no, this person did come into the country, asked for asylum. And once they're processed at the border, then CBP or another agency would send them into removal proceedings. They would issue a notice to appear document and then send them into the courts. And what has been happening lately, which is highly concerning, is that people are doing the things right way. And a lot of times we talk about the right way. What is it? And people do show up to their court hearings, but now more and more of those people are being arrested at the court hearings by ICE, who hides their faces and who hides who they are. So a lot of times it looks like a kidnapping.
Samantha, we've seen other examples of local ICE arrests that have drawn protests. Are you familiar with the recent arrests at that Kroger store in East Price Hill? Can you tell us about that?
Yes. We received a call from someone in our network that a man was being detained by ICE in the parking lot of the Kroger in Price Hill. And turns out that there was actually four people that were arrested that day. One man, Alonzo, was arrested in front of his wife and children and were left behind without anyone to take them home because she doesn't have a driver's license. And so our network moved into action and wanted to see, you know, who was affected and what their families needed. And Alonzo's case has recently come to the surface because he's had the opportunity to talk to a judge to try to be released on bond. And we're still awaiting that that appointment. But it just goes to show that ICE can detain you anywhere at any time. Alonzo was just at Kroger trying to buy supplies for a birthday party.
And this is Alonzo Tomas Mendez. Do you happen to know, had he applied for asylum? Do you know what the status of his situation was?
I'm not familiar with the way he came into the country or what he pursued, but ICE did track him down and detain him. I'm also not sure if there was a warrant with his name on it. That is a big concern that we have in the advocacy community, because ICE is supposed to have a judicial warrant signed by a judge with a person's name on it in order to detain them. But so much people don't know their rights and have been being detained right and left because they don't know their rights. And so we've been doing a lot of education through Ignite Peace to get people informed about what their rights are, because being on U.S. soil means you're protected by the Constitution.
Nazlee, do we have local examples of people who have criminal records, you know, committed violent crimes and were prosecuted in this country, who are being arrested by ICE? Is there a pattern in that regard?
We did, and the priorities for ICE has changed. While under previous administration, there was really a priority of people with the violent criminal offenses who were getting detained and then removed from the country. Right now, there's no such thing. The quotas have been recently raised for ICE on how many people they have to detain, and 3,000 people per day. Hence, ICE is picking up people like Emerson, you know, who don't have any criminal record, who are good citizens. So has been a huge change in the policy of who is being detained and removed. And most of the time, it is not people with the criminal offenses or any violent criminal offenses.
Nazlee, for Mr. Mendez, who is this father of young children who was detained in the Kroger parking lot and is being held, what kind of due process is he entitled to?
It would depend on where he is in the process. If once they arrived in the country, they did seek asylum, and depending where he is in that process, he might be able to continue his asylum claim while he's detained and fight his case. He might be able to apply for a different relief depending on his situation. And another thing, the outcome that might be, is that if he does have a final order of removal, then he would be removed by ICE.
Nazlee, we talked about Emerson, how he's been deported. He's in Honduras. His mother and sister are following him there. What does he have legal recourse? Could he try to return to the U.S.? Could his mother and sister try to return to the U.S.? Or what? Any idea what the future could hold for them legally if they want to come back to this country?
Possibly, yes. There is a ban normally for about 10 years, depending on how long you've been in the United States and your unauthorized presence. But with what happened to Emerson, it's probably about 10 years or maybe less. And possibly they could come back. As I say, there was a talk about the collateral relief that is available to the family, but would be extremely hard. Hmm.
Sarah, do you know what Emerson planned to do after high school, what his dreams were?
His dreams were soccer. Mm-hmm. Emerson is a soccer player to his core, and from the time that I met him in elementary school all the way through, has just pushed himself, dedicated himself to being not only a good person, but a good player on the field, a good teammate. That was his ultimate goal, and something that he was very open with, but everybody knew him, knew that that was his passion.
Yeah. Samantha, the Ohio Senate just passed a bill that, as I understand it, would allow ICE agents to detain anybody who's suspected of being in the country illegally, even if they don't have this warrant that you just referenced. Explain what this legislation would do, what it would mean.
Essentially, this bill is a racial profiling bill, Lucy. It allows state and local officials, including judges, to detain anyone they suspect of being undocumented. And you can't tell if someone's undocumented by looking to them or even by listening to them if they speak with an accent. And so this is going to lead to a lot of people who have visas, green cards, even naturalized U.S. citizens being detained unfairly because someone thought that they were undocumented. And the scariest piece about this legislation to me is they don't need a warrant in order to detain someone. So we're hoping to stop this legislation because it's just going to lead to a slew of problems for everyone in the community.
Again, this has been passed by the Ohio Senate, now before the Ohio House. We have some more callers on the line. I don't know if we'll be able to get to everybody, but Annie, thanks for calling. What was your question or comment?
Hi, I just wanted to inquire because it's my understanding that if someone is not a U.S. citizen, they don't have the same right to like a defense lawyer as U.S. citizens do. And so if someone is detained, And so they don't have a right to a lawyer. How can we as a community provide support or help these folks? Because
okay, I'm going to put you on hold. We're having a little bit of problems with your audio. It sounds like you're saying that people who are detained don't have the same rights. How can the community help, Sarah? Samantha. I looked at Samantha and said Sarah. Sorry.
Yeah, you're exactly right. The criminal legal system is different from the immigration system, where in the criminal legal system, you are provided a lawyer if you can't afford one. In the immigration system, you have to provide your own lawyer. And as it's pretty well known, immigration lawyers are a bit overwhelmed right now, as well as nonprofits that provide immigration legal services. So there have been everyday people being trained in what we call accompaniment, which is accompanying and going alongside folks who have specific immigration appointments. So that way, if something happens to them, somebody knows and they can contact the family, they can talk about what happened. And so if you're interested in accompaniment, please reach out to ignitepeace.org or myself, because we'd love to get you plugged in as a volunteer.
Thank you, Annie. Sorry to have cut you off there, but thanks so much for that call and that question. We've got more folks on the line, but we're running low on time. Nazlee, just in the less than a minute we have left, what should immigrants know about their rights and right to due process in this country? What's the number one thing they should keep in mind?
Number one thing is that they do have rights. So don't give up on your rights. You do have a right to Fifth Amendment, to remain silent. The ICE, no matter what the Ohio has passed, which is unconstitutional, Ohio Senate, and ICE cannot come in and search in your house or come to get you out of the house without a warrant that's signed by the neutral magistrate or federal judge. So do know your rights. Go and get more information and resources. Organizations like Samantha's, Ignite Peace, and some others in the city of Cincinnati do an amazing job. And please do educate yourself. I know.
Thank you so much. I've been talking with immigration attorney Nazlee Mammudova, whose firm is called Nazlee Mammudova Law, Ignite Peace Program Director Samantha Searles, and local school social worker Sarah Madrigal. Thank you all so much for your time today.
Thank you, Lucy.
Thank you for having us.
You've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. I'm Lucy May. Thank you so much for listening.